إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد my dear brothers and sisters, on the we continue with our series on the family, and I mentioned to you the global changes that happened to society since the 18th centuries or so. We're talking about roughly 200 plus years. And as a consequence of those changes, what happened and what are the challenges that we face? How values got re-engineered and we were landed with new values. Having said that, what must be recognized is that we actively, either consciously or unconsciously, chose to take those values. One can lament about the problems of materialism, for example, but the fact remains that nobody drags you into a mall with a collar on your neck. They don't drag you to a mall in chains. You go there very voluntarily and very happily. So then you can't blame the world because of for the values that the world gives us. The values are there. It's up to us to take them or not to take them. So if we have chosen to take values of individualism, for example, against collective understanding and responsibility, then it's up to us. If we choose not to share, it's up to us. If we choose to share, it is up to us. So it's one has to own responsibility for one's own actions. You can't blame things on other people. You can't blame them on society. You can't blame them on America or whoever. People propagate whatever they have, and it is for us to accept it or not to accept it. So please keep that in mind. Now, having said that, today I want to talk a little bit about the roles that are there in the family, and then from tomorrow we'll look at the tools that we need to deal with all of these things. And the roles are important because the unit, the basic unit of society is the family. And this is what Islam also recognizes. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the family in different ways in the Quran. In the commercial context, the context of modern society, of a society based on materialism, a family is bad news. A family is bad news because a family does not buy as much as an individual. And these are, this is not my opinion, these are the statistical data to prove that, that single unattached males buy the maximum. That married couples, immediately the buying drops. Because they want to save. They want to, they want to save. Second, they will share. So instead of a single man and a single woman who will both need one car each, if you have a couple, more than likely they will share one car and they will, you know, carpool and things like this. So therefore, immediately the buying power, or not the buying power, but the buying willingness comes down. And for a commercial society, that is bad news. You want people to buy. So it is in the interest of the commercial society to ensure that families don't exist or families are broken up. And if you break up the family, then you are landed with social problems. For example, what do you do with old people? For example, what do you do with children? And so forth. So society comes up with structural solutions to those problems. And the structural solution are the daycare centers. The structural solutions are the creches. The structural solutions are the hospices, the structural solutions are the old people's homes, and so on and so forth. So, in the traditional family, in the Islamic context, you took care of your parents, you honored your parents, you looked after them until they died, they stayed with you or you stayed with them. If necessary, you reworked your own career, and at least one of the children decided not to take a high-flying career, but they decided to stay home with the parents to look after the parents. This was what is supposed to be done. It was not, you were not doing a great favor to the parents. That's what was the right of the parents, and you did that. But in modern society, in commercial society, Again, bad news. We want you to have a high-flying career because you will keep buying, and we want your parents also to buy. When they can't buy anymore, we want you to buy for them. So therefore, stick them into an old people's home. Your job is done. Send them a Father's Day card on Father's Day, Mother's Day card on Mother's Day, a birthday card on a birthday, and you are all set. And if you send some flowers, oh, alhamdulillah, all good for you. So this is how commercial society has destroyed the family. So you create structural solutions. You have hospitals, you have excellent ambulance services, nothing wrong with any of that. Believe me, there is absolutely nothing wrong with any of that by itself. I mean, obviously, I can't be objecting to an excellent ambulance service. I can't be objecting to the fact that in the UK, where our brother lives, for old people, when you get beyond a certain age, if you need your toenails to be clipped, you can call the hospital and they will send a nurse to come and clip your toenails. Now you might say, wow, fantastic, what a beautiful service. But the fact is that service is not a beautiful service, because that service is a sign of the complete breakdown of the family. You need a nurse to come, you need the welfare state to send a nurse to clip your toenails, because your own child won't do it. That was the job of your daughter or your son or your grandchildren. They will not do it. Either they are not there, or if they are there, they can't. I'm not going to clip, my grandpa's toenails, for God's sake. I mean, this is not my job. So you have to get a nurse to do that job. So you have to look at these things in the overall context. It's not a sign of a healthy society. And, as the saying goes, it's not a sign of health to be profoundly adjusted to a sick society. That's one of Jiddu Krishnamurti's saying. He said it's not a sign of health to be profoundly adjusted to a sick society. And believe me, we are an extremely sick society. Very, very sick society. So the whole issue of a family, what is a family? A family is one where people take care of each other. It happens even in a pack of dogs, for God's sake. I mean, think about this. You know, all pack animals, whether it's wolves or dogs and so on, or lions, for example, they take care of each other. They take care of each other because they are related. They take care of each other. What is the meaning of taking care? Taking care means that I am consciously going to put myself to some inconvenience for the sake of my brother, my sister, my mother, my father, and so on. Taking care does not mean I will do it if I feel like doing it. Taking care does not mean I will do it if I have leisure. Taking care does not mean I will do that if I have nothing else to do. No. Taking care means that I will put myself to some inconvenience consciously in order to help somebody else. This is the meaning of, what else is the meaning of taking care? This is the meaning of taking care. And the family is a symbol of taking care. And then of course we extend this beyond the family to extended family, to our neighbors and so on and so forth. And that is what a Muslim society is supposed to be. A society that takes care of everyone who is in that society from a society perspective, irrespective of whether they are Muslim or non-Muslim. A Muslim society is also supposed to take care of non-Muslims. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu was going one day in Medina, and he found an old Jewish man. And the man was, obviously he was looked like he was very poor and in a desperate state. So he asked the man, he said, what's wrong with you? Why are you looking like this? So he said, I have no money, I've got no family, and I'm hungry, I've got nowhere to go. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu got very angry. He called his staff and he told them that this man is a subject of our state, right? He is a subject of our state. When he was young, we took jizya from him. And now when he is old and he has no one to look after him, we leave him on the street. He said, this is what we are. He said, no. He said, he immediately ordered a pension for the man. He ordered him to be given a house, and he said, this man will be taken care of and the state will look after him. Now, this was the understanding of what the Muslim state was. That a state which took care of everyone, including the non-Muslims. There's no differentiation in the role of the state with regard to Muslim and non-Muslim, as far as taking care is concerned. So the basic family unit was this, which takes care. Now, in that unit, because it's a unit, and because they're supposed to take care, there are different roles which are ascribed to different people. For example, the role of the father, the role of the man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa." Allah said, the men have been given authority over the women. So in the Muslim family, the man and the woman are not equal. There is not equality, there is equitability. They have different roles. The man has authority over the women, meaning the women and the children, because the man has the responsibility of protecting them, of taking care of them, and of providing for them materially and spiritually. So this is the role of the man. The father is not just the ATM machine. The father is the one who is the primary wage earner, the bread earner for the family. Number one role, which he has to do. That is his role for which he will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second role of the father is the provider of not just material needs, but spiritual needs. So to make sure that the family is knows who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to make sure that the family understands Islam, that they have the knowledge and so on and so forth. This is the role of the father. And the third role of the father is as a protector of the honor and the safety of the family. So this is the primary role of the man of the house. The role of the mother is a role of nurturing, of being in the house, of taking care of the house, of providing a beautiful home which is full of sakina, full of barakah, full of beauty, full of harmony, tranquility. This is the role of the mother. Now, is a woman allowed to work? Yes, she is allowed to work. Is she allowed to leave the whole family and buzz off to the office from morning till night and dump the kids in the daycare center and tell the husband, go find yourself a sandwich? No, she is not. She is not. Her primary role is to take care of the home. In addition to all of that, if she also has a business and she runs it and so on and so forth, all power to her, no problem. Nobody, Islam does not prevent a woman from earning money through business or whatever means, but not at the cost of the family. For example, the husband, supposing he says, well, I know how to cook, so I'm going to cook. Tell the wife, go find some work. No, not allowed. Not allowed. You are supposed, that's your job to go out and earn your living. So the role of the mother is nurturing, taking care of the family. Role of children is to take care of the parents. Is to, in the sense of not take care doing hidayat for them or guiding them, but taking care in the sense of serving the parents. The role of the parents is tarbiyah of the children. And this happens to for both of them, the mother and the father. The tarbiyah of the children, guiding the children, teaching them and so on and so forth, is the role of the parents. And the role of the children is not tarbiyah of the parents. Now today, if you look at it, the reason I'm saying this is because all of these roles have got reversed. In many places, the family home is the battleground between the husband and the wife. And they all score shots of each other. You know, which one did I get and which one did she get and who is superior and who is inferior. This happens the whole time. Consciously and unconsciously. And that's why families fall apart. Because people don't understand their roles. The woman thinks that when the husband tells her to do something, she thinks he's bossing her. He's not bossing her. That's his job. That's Allah has given him the authority. He's not bossing around. He's not supposed to boss around. If he is bossing around, if he's being oppressive, then he's exceeding his authority. The woman is not an unpaid slave in the house. It's not her job to, you know, do everything that a servant does for free. That is not her job. Her job is also not to serve everyone in the house and cook for everyone in the house and do all kinds of things. Today, children treat their mothers like servants, literally. Quite literally, they treat their mothers like servants. They order them around. I want this, I want that, I want that. There's no one time for a meal. Every child wants a particular meal at a particular time. And the mother's job is to run around like a crazy person cooking those meals and finding that food. Every child wants a particular thing. I don't eat this, I don't eat that. All of these are, believe me, in many homes, you are creating monsters and you are the creator of the monster. Make no mistake, go stand in front of a mirror and say, how did my child become like this? Stand in front of the mirror and you have the answer. You made the child like that. From the time the child is a little kid, how many homes do we see this? Small children, there is the mother or a servant. If you got money, it's a servant. If you don't have money, it's the mother. Walking around behind that kid with a plate, trying to feed the kid. All over the countryside, the whole day there is someone walking around with this kid behind. Why? So what is the training you are giving them? That everything is at your beck and call. But that is not reality. So children grow up like that. Imagine that boy or that girl grows up, gets married, goes into another home, and her mind is tuned to this, that somebody's got to walk behind me with a plate, figuratively speaking, right? Is that going to happen? So 6 months later, she comes back home. She's back home 6 months later, because that doesn't happen. That's not reality. That's what you created. So don't blame them if the marriage breaks up, because you sowed the seeds of the breakup of this marriage. Zero discipline. Where we lived earlier, there were these two kids. It's absolutely, pathetic to see that. The mother would wait at the gate of the driveway for these two girls to come home from school. They would get off the bus, and first thing they would do is throw the school bag on the ground. The mother would pick up. Now the mother is walking behind the children, picking up. As these girls are, they are like a garbage, two little garbage trucks, dropping things all around. So they drop a bag, then somebody who drops the, she's wearing a pullover, she drops the pullover, and she kicks off the shoes, and then she kicks off the socks, and the mother is picking up stuff behind. This is our upbringing of children. So the job of the parents is to create a sense of discipline and responsibility in the children so that they take care of the home, they take care of themselves, and there is a sense of sharing and concern for each other in the home. So three different roles: father, mother, and parents. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about others, but this is the foundation, and as we go forward, as I told you, I will talk about the different tools that we need and what to do about them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to have the understanding to create families which are a source of khair for us in this dunya wal akhirah. Because remember, your children and so on are your akhirah. This is the sadaqatul jariyah that will be there for you, or the, may Allah protect you, the opposite of that. We don't want that, inshallah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the wisdom to create beautiful families which are a source of khair for us in dunya wal akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.